Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
The results of a study 10 years later have confirmed the results of a study done in 2002 of the SAR dogs who served at Ground Zero on 9/11. Both studies concluded that the search and rescue dogs fared remarkably well. In fact, search and rescue dogs that were deployed there and in other disasters had a slightly longer lifespan than those who weren't deployed. And some of the dogs who worked at Ground Zero are still alive today. Unlike their handlers, they suffered few respiratory problems, and none of them life-threatening. Quite the contrary, they experienced the types of injuries that you would expect dogs like that to sustain in environments like that. Cut foot pads, exhaustion, dehydration. The results of the study didn't surprise me so much as the conclusions that are being drawn from it. The major one being that since dogs and humans share much of the same genome, as well as domestication, we can use these studies to figure out why humans are so much more susceptible to serious respiratory tract problems under these circumstances. These include such chronic and dreadful diseases as asthma and cancer. While I can see the value of that, it seems to me that they were putting the emphasis in the wrong place. There's no doubt that both humans and canines suffered stress. And we certainly know the role that the emotions that stress plays in both cancers and asthma. We haven't wanted to look at it especially closely, but the studies are there. Now this raises the possibility, and I would argue a very real, if perhaps unpalatable, possibility, that the dogs who work at these disaster sites, which affect primarily humans, are not as stressed. And the reason that they're not is because they belong to a different species. They don't have the same deep evolutionary feeling about members of a different species any more than we do. I admit there are some people whose degree of sensitivity is such that they do feel an incredible kinship and empathy with members of other species, perhaps all other species, perhaps all of nature, or perhaps even with only a specific species, like horses, dogs, cats, wolves. Excuse me, Ollie, it's the cat. Come on, get over here. Come here. Thank you. Stay over here. The problem when we identify too closely with members of another species is that we become so emotionally involved, we become useless. But if we can recognize that distance, then that frees us to help that other species without destroying ourselves. Going back to these SAR dogs, would we find it offensive if these working dogs weren't that emotionally invested in us humans, that they could save us or find our remains without sustaining serious injuries, medical complications that mark them as martyrs to our cause for life? I think some people would have trouble with that. I think they would think that there was something inherently wrong with those dogs, that they didn't suffer as much as we did on 9/11. because somehow it would make us feel that, you know, maybe they're not members of the family. Maybe they're good friends, but maybe we don't belong to the same family. And the reality is we don't. We belong to two different species. And I think if studies like that make us realize this, that's not only going to benefit us, that's also going to really, really help our dogs.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.